we're going to pray right now once more. Let's prepare our hearts for God's word. Father, we just thank you for the word of God that is alive and powerful. And I pray, Father, that you would speak into our hearts and lives today. Help us, Father, to live out your word in all that you have for us. I ask for your help this morning in teaching the word of God. And I pray, Father, that this seed of God's word will fall on good ground and bring forth a great harvest in our lives, that you be glorified. I thank you for it all in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, how are you doing this morning? Well, some of you are good. Well, let me just tell you, if you're not, there's a bright side. One elderly gentleman, he said, I sure have gotten old. He said, I've had two bypass surgeries. I've had a hip replacement, a knee surgery, fought prostate cancer and diabetes. He said, I'm half blind, and I can't hear anything quieter than a jet engine. I take 40 different kinds of medication, and they make me dizzy and winded and subject to blackouts. I have bouts with dementia. I have poor circulation. I can hardly feel my hands and feet anymore. I can't remember if I'm 85 or 95, but thank God I still got my Texas driver's license. Now, I don't want anybody to lose your joy. No, I wasn't talking about you. It's just a story, all right? The word of God says in Psalms 107, verse 8, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. Oh, that we would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. You know, one of the biggest lies and deception in this generation is that the Lord just really isn't all that good. People look at all of the ugliness, the terrible things in our world, and they say, why does God do this? Or why does God allow this? I want you to understand, the day we're living in, God's character is brought into question all the time, even by religious people, sometimes especially by religious people who want to blame God for every terrible thing that happens in our world. And they say things like, well, it must be God's will. I'm telling you that the Lord is good. What we see, the ugly and the terrible things in this world, listen, it is the result of the sin of man and the work of Satan. And yet God gets blamed for it. He is good. And I'm telling you, he is at work in our lives. Oh, that people would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. So many people just aren't really grateful because they don't see the wonderful works that God is doing. People being saved, lives being changed, people being healed, being set free. The blessings of God on our life, day by day by day, I'm telling you that he is worthy of our thanks and our praise. This series that we are in right now about being grateful is not just something about a Thanksgiving day, and it's not just some seasonal thing, but for the believer, it should be a way of life. That every day we are living what the Bible tells us to. Amen. That we're doers of the word. Because it's not just in here once or twice. Now, that would be enough. I mean, if God tells you to do something once or twice, shouldn't that be enough? But it's over and over and over the scripture tells us that we're to be grateful, that we're to be thankful. We live in this negative, complaining culture. And it makes it difficult for us to maintain that grateful heart and have the right attitude. But church, we've been called to be different. We're not supposed to be like the world. And I'm just telling you that we need a huge change. It ought to be so evident in our life that we are believers. Not because of the way we wear our hair or the clothes we wear or the little fish on our car. No, because we're grateful. Because every day when things are going wrong, when things are going right, you'd be surprised how people are not grateful even when things are going right. But no matter what's going on in our life, we're still grateful. You can always look on the bright side and give thanks to God, or you can look on the dark side. But I'm telling you, no matter how difficult your life might be right now or what kind of battle or storm you're going through, the Bible says that we're supposed to be grateful. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Again, it says, in everything. See, no matter what your situation, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. How can we do that? I believe the Bible gives us not just the what you're supposed to do, but how to do it. And so we're going to look to the scripture this morning to see how to be grateful. All of us have negative situations. All of us have problems. All of us have unpleasant things that we have to deal with in this life. So how can we be grateful in everything? First, you have to have faith. When adversity comes, when you're looking at problems in your life, the only way that you can maintain a grateful heart and give God thanks in that situation is if you have faith. If you really trust God and you really believe Him, that no matter how it looks, God's going to work it out. That no matter what you're going through, He's going to bring you through to victory. Now, Jesus said in John 16:33, in this world, you are going to have trouble. And I got to tell you, it doesn't matter how much you try to confess and positive think it away, guess what? You're going to have trouble in this world. But He also said, be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. Why would we be of good cheer? Because Jesus overcame the world. I mean, that's good for Jesus, but what about me? Because He's telling us that He's already overcome the world, so we also can overcome the world. In fact, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4 says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Do we have any born-again people in this service this morning? If you're born again, that's what that means. It means that you are born of the Spirit of God. And whatever's born of God overcomes the world. But that's not the end of it. No, He says, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. That's how we overcome the world. It's by faith. And all of us have trouble. All of us have situations and circumstances that are difficult. And how can you give God thanks in the midst of it? Because you know that you're going to overcome. You know that God will come through for you. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, thanks be to God. Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. He's not leading you to defeat and to failure. He's leading you to victory. So this is why you can thank God. Because you know He's going to lead you to victory. You know that it's not over. That no matter how it looks, that you can trust God and believe Him. See, when we're sick, we should give Him thanks. Not because we're sick, but because we know what the Bible says in Psalms 103 and verse 3. That He heals all my diseases. That's how you can still give Him thanks. Because you have the promise of God. You have the Word of God. And you see, it takes faith for you to be able to thank God in the midst of that situation or circumstance. But I'm telling you this morning, listen, we can't just go by what we see. You see, if you're saying, well, I'll give God thanks after I see the good results. Well, guess what? You're never going to get there. Because so much of us receiving from God has to do with our believing. Believers, the righteous, are to walk by faith, not by sight. That's what the Bible says. And so when you're facing difficult situations and circumstances, how are you going to give thanks? Because you're not looking at the circumstances. You are walking by faith. You are trusting God. Romans 8:28 says, we know that in that all things work together for good to those who love God and who are the called according to His purpose. Now, that verse of Scripture, like many great promises in the Bible, it doesn't say that it's for everybody. It says that it is for those who love God. And I don't mean, you know, that religious thing that's so prevalent in our world where people say, oh, I love the Lord, but they live like the devil. Jesus said, you know the one that loves me because he keeps my commands. Now, that doesn't mean we're perfect, but listen, Jesus knows who loves him. And it shows up in our lives, or the way we live our life and what we do. And this passage of Scripture, though, if you are truly following the Lord and serving God and you love the Lord, here's what he says. He's going to work everything out for your good. No matter how it looks right now, you can give God thanks because he's going to work it out for your good. If you only give God thanks when everything is just right, I'm telling you, you will never give God thanks. If we're going to be a grateful people, we have to do it by faith. When you're facing a situation that upsets you, don't just complain about it and don't do nothing about it. No, there's something that you're supposed to do when something upsets you. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing. Don't be upset about anything, but in everything. We read a verse a minute ago, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It said, in everything, give thanks. How do you do that? I'm telling you, it takes faith. He tells us here, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. See, we're supposed to pray about it, but not a faithless prayer. Listen, if you're praying, if you're saying words to God and you don't even believe that God cares or that he's going to move on your behalf, you're just wasting your breath. You got to believe. And when you pray with thanksgiving, not as a religious ritual, but because you believe he's going to answer your prayer. And so you thank him for it. It's one of the most deceptive, one of the most damaging philosophies. Listen, not of unbelievers, but of religious people in our culture today, is that God is just going to do what he's going to do, and whether you pray or whether you don't, none of that really matters. That's not from the Bible. Jesus said, ask and you will receive. James, in the book of James, it says, you have not because you ask not. Jesus said in Mark 11:24, what things soever you desire when you pray and believe you receive, you shall have them. He didn't say whatever things you go to God and you whine about and you tell God, well, I wish you'd do this and I wish you'd do that. But the things that you believe you receive, he said you'll have them. Now, he didn't say believe you have them once you have them. No, he said believe you receive, you shall have them. That's faith. How can you give God thanks in the midst of a terrible battle? Because you believe. You prayed and you pray with thanksgiving. You believe that God is going to bring you through to victory. Henry Frost was a missionary to China, and in his journal, he wrote about a really difficult time in his life. He said that he received some bad news from home, and he says, deep shadows had covered my soul, and I prayed, but the darkness did not vanish. I summoned myself to endure, but the darkness only deepened. Then I went to an island station and saw on the wall of the mission home these words, try thanksgiving. He said, I did, and in a moment, every shadow was gone, not to return. You see, when we give God thanks, it is an expression of our faith. It is telling God that we trust him and that we know that he's going to come through. It is that moment when you can actually not just being religious and saying thank you, God, but from the heart, thank God. That's a breakthrough. when you can actually thank God for it. Now back to Philippians 4:6, if you read on into the next verse, into verse 7, he says, and the peace of God which passes all understanding. See, it doesn't make any sense. You say, well, the circumstance hasn't changed. It hasn't changed in the natural, but it's changed in the spirit. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Oh, see, when you pray through and you can thank God for the answer, the victory, when you've gotten to the place where you can really trust Him, there is a peace. Amen. But church, you can't get there if you don't have the faith to thank God for it. Oh, we've got to get to that place where we really trust Him and really believe Him. Acts chapter 16 tells us a story about how Paul and Silas were ministering to people and they cast a demon out of a young servant girl. And the people there were so happy and excited about this miracle that had happened that they put them up in the Hilton and they treated them like royalty. That's not really exactly how it goes. I think we need to read it. It's in Acts chapter 16, and we're just going to pick up the story from verse 22. It says, then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. Wow. That's not exactly the reception that you expect when you help somebody. I mean, when you see somebody set free, that's not exactly how you expect people to respond to you. You think that our culture has gone down the tubes. Can you imagine? They were stripped and beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. They were put in the dungeon and fastened in stocks. Can you imagine this apostle Paul who tells us in everything give thanks? Well, we'll see how he's going to handle this now. I'm sure that he began to complain and let everybody know that he didn't deserve this and this wasn't right. I bet he got on Facebook and ranted, told everybody about it. Well, not exactly. At midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. I tell you, this world doesn't need any more angry Christians. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, they act just like the world. No, what this world needs to see is Christians who really are different. Like Paul and Silas, that even when they were mistreated, even when things, their circumstances were so horrible, they prayed and they sang hymns to God. Oh, that this world would see in us. I'm talking about you and me, the believers here at Grace Church, that the world around us would see that kind of example in us. Truly grateful people, people that really have faith and are trusting God in the midst of horrible circumstances. I don't know what's going on in your life, but for most of us, we don't have anything to compare with what happened to Paul and Silas. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. I got to tell you that God can do anything. Whatever's going on in your life, He can shake the foundations. See, in just a moment, in an instant, He can turn it around. Now, if you read on in the story, as it turned around, God not only turned it around for Paul and Silas, but He used this to save that jailer's household. But it never would have happened if they sat there in the prison and started griping and complaining, faithless. No, if you're going to be grateful, you got to have faith. Grateful people. They're people whose hope and trust is in the Lord. When we're grateful, it tells God that we know that He'll come through for us. When we're ungrateful, it's as though we think God has let us down. Let me just say this very clearly. When we're not grateful, we're ungrateful. There is no big in between. You're either grateful or ungrateful. And if you're going to stay grateful all the time, in every situation, you got to have faith. You got to believe. Second, to be grateful, we have to learn to be content. One of the reasons that people aren't grateful is they don't appreciate what they have. The scripture says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, "Now godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out." What he's saying is that we should be grateful for everything we have. Everything. This attitude of the day where everyone is discontent. Whatever they have, it's never enough. No, we should be grateful for everything we have. In verse 8, it really gets crazy. He says, "In having food and clothing, with these we shall be content." Are you content with food and clothing? Now, I got to tell you, I really believe in the blessings of God, and I really believe the Lord blesses us with abundance. Not just enough for us to get by, but enough for us to be able to be a blessing to somebody else. There's so much scriptural evidence of that. But here needs to be our attitude, that if we have food and clothing, we're content. I don't know about you, but I got a lot more than that. Do you? Are you content? Are you truly content? Because most people, they have a hard time being grateful because, you know, when I get to this or when I have that or when this happens, then maybe I'll be content. This dissatisfaction and discontentment keeps people from being grateful. Do you have a car? Are you grateful for that car? It's real easy for me right now. I got a new Tahoe this past year. And every time I get in it, I say, "Thank you, Lord." But you know what? We got to be just as grateful when we're driving the old bomb. I'm so thankful that the Lord has blessed us materially. But I remember when we drove clunkers. We could be just as thankful then. In fact, sometimes it seems like the more stuff people have, the less thankful they are. It's so weird how this discontent just gets on people and our society just propagates it all the time. The advertisers are constantly coming at you, telling you, "Hey, if you have our product or if you get our service, then you're going to finally be happy." Guess what? It doesn't work. No, if you're ever going to truly be grateful, you're going to have to learn to be content. I want to read on in this passage just a little further. It says, "But those who desire to be rich and fall into temptation and a snare." Now, how many of you believe that? Four of you. The rest of you, you need to pray. I'm telling you. I don't care how much it goes against the grain of what you think and what you've been taught and the attitude of our culture. Listen, those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into foolish and harmful lust, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Our culture has this wild emphasis on wealth and material possessions that if you just get a little more, then you'll finally be happy. If you can't be grateful to God for the blessings that you already have, you will never be grateful. You need to be content with what you have. Here it is, Hebrews 13:5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. I like it in the NIV. He says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Don't get caught up with this attitude of always running after things, thinking that this will finally satisfy, or once you change this in your life, then you're finally going to be happy. And it's not just about material things. No, we need to learn to be content with the blessings of God in our life. We always find ourselves wanting something more or something different, never really grateful. One of the greatest obstacles to overcome in being thankful and grateful every day is to realize the blessings of God that we already have and to not take them for granted. Now, I want you to understand this. If you take something for granted, that's ingratitude. And there are a lot of blessings in our life that we don't appreciate, that we tend to take for granted until they're gone. Did you thank God today for your health? Now, you might be thinking, well, Pastor, I ain't feeling so good, or I'm dealing with this, I'm dealing with that. I'm going to tell you right now, I understand. But there's a whole lot of people that couldn't be here today. Did you thank God today for your children's health? There are people over at the hospital, at the children's hospital right now, that would give absolutely anything for their child to be healthy. Did you thank God for that today, or did you just take it for granted? Did you thank God for your job and for your house, or did you just take it for granted? I'm telling you, if we're going to be grateful every day and truly be thankful people, then we got to stop taking the blessings of God for granted. We got to stop that attitude of discontent that it's never good enough and we always want a little more. Jesus said to pray this way, give us this day our daily bread. Did Jesus not have bread? Jesus could turn the stones into bread. But he was teaching us every day that we are to pray, we are to trust God with for our basic needs. And listen, you see, we never take it for granted. We never take it for granted. We say, give us this day our daily bread. You don't take it for granted. We're looking to him as our source and our supply. We're trusting him. You say, well, I got plenty of money to buy bread. You're taking it for granted. No, you need to every day appreciate the daily blessings in your life. You know, there's an old adage that says familiarity breeds contempt. And it's talking about in relationships with people that a lot of times we don't appreciate those that we're closest to, those that we know the best, because, well, we just know them so well and we're so accustomed to them that we don't appreciate them. It's kind of like where Jesus says a prophet is not without honor except in his own country. When people are real familiar with one another, a lot of times they don't appreciate one another. Well, it's true about people, and it's also true about possessions. It's true about a lot of things in our life that we don't really appreciate what we have. In fact, sometimes, even though others might want what we have, we're not happy with it. We're discontent. We look at what others have, and we compare. Pastor has a new Tahoe. Well, that ain't right. I'm driving this thing. Andy Stanley preaches a series on comparison, and the first message is he talks about the land of Ur. The land of Ur. It's a sad place. It's an unhappy place. It's an ungrateful place. In the land of Ur, people want to be richer. They want to be skinnier. They want to be happier. They want their wife to be prettier. They want their husband to be sweeter. Why can't my husband be like that husband? Why can't my wife do like his wife? They want their kids to be smarter. They're never happy because they're always comparing. They're discontent with what God has blessed them with. I seldom hear people talk about their spouse in a way that is truly grateful. In fact, most of the time, if people are talking about their spouse with their friends, it seems like they have to say something negative. Well, he's a good provider, but he's not very romantic. And another says, well, he's sweet and he's romantic, but he's not a very good provider. Well, why don't y'all just swap and everybody will be happy? I'll tell you why. Because a lot of people have tried that and they ain't happy now. They're less happy than they were before. Discontent. People do the same thing with their job. They don't appreciate the job that God has blessed them with. And they gripe and complain and they gripe and complain about something at their job. There may be 90 things they like at their job, but there's a few things they don't like. And so they talk about this, they talk about that, and they go on, and they just endure it and stay there and work there anyway and gripe. What a miserable existence. And then there's the people who gripe and complain about their job until they finally get to the place where they just say, forget this, I'm going to work somebody else. And sometimes I've done it. They jump out of the frying pan and into the fire. Should have been content. Discontent keeps you from being grateful. You know what will make you really grateful for a job when you ain't had one for a while? It's amazing how they can adjust your attitude about a job. This discontent, it even has come into the church and plays a big part in church today. I hear pastors talking about this a lot, and especially like at pastors' conferences, that people in church in America today, and especially in a metropolitan area like the DFW, where you have so many choices about where to go to church, there's this consumer mentality about church, where people just kind of shop and shop and shop for the perfect church. And what happens many times is that people will come to a church and they'll like pretty much everything about it, but then they'll find one thing they don't like. And that one thing, they just focus on it and it sticks out to them. All these other things they like, but well, that one thing I don't like. And they get so discontent, they finally go to another church. Well, there wasn't just one thing, there was two or three things. And so they go to another church and another church and another church, never really connecting, never really experiencing what God has for them, not really being effective and being used of God in any way. And the saddest thing is that a lot of times they just end up out of church altogether because none of them were good enough. Discontent. I know that I'm foolish to talk so plainly and be so candid about things, but we have the sweetest people here. We don't have a bunch of discontented, disgruntled people. And one reason is we don't listen to that. I mean, if somebody's discontented and disgruntled, we love you, and we hope the best for you, and, you know, just pray for you, but we're not going to cater to discontent and disgruntled. We're going to obey God and do what God wants us to do and hope somebody will come on board with us and help us do it. Amen. But church, the point is that it doesn't matter what area of life you're talking about. If you're discontent, you're not being grateful. Last, if we're going to be grateful, we got to get our thinking right. Why is it that sincere people who love God many times end up not really obeying God? The Bible says to be thankful, and yet so many are hearers only and not doers, deceiving their own selves. I'm telling you, one of the reasons is because they don't change the way they think. You can't think one way and live another. You got to get your thinking right. How you think has such a huge impact on the way that you live your life. And especially, it's so obvious when it comes to how you think in regard to the blessings of God, and being content, having faith and trusting God, or looking at things in a negative way all the time, it makes it impossible for you to truly be grateful. You know, we listen to the world around us complaining and upset and always negative, not grateful to God. We should be different. We should be totally and completely different. The Bible says in Romans 12, 2, be not conformed to this world, to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, by changing the way you think. And I'm telling you, if you can change the way you think, you can become a grateful person. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn over to Psalms chapter 1. There are three verses that we're going to look at there. Psalms chapter 1. And it starts off with this. It says, blessed is the man. And I just want to tell you what that means. Some preachers today have translated it as happy. That's just a start, just a little start. But it doesn't really do the word blessed justice. It's the opposite of cursed. But another antonym for blessed would be miserable. How would you like to be the polar opposite of miserable? That sounds good to me. That's blessed. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Are you listening to the world? You listening to the world around you? Nor stands in the path of sinners. Some of you, if you're going to be a grateful person, you're going to have to maybe quit hanging out with the wrong people. Nor sits in the seat of the scornful. There's a whole lot of religious people, not just what we normally would think of ungodly, but religious people who sit in the seat of the scornful, always upset, always mad, always standing in judgment in a critical spirit. Can't be thankful that way. Blessed is the man. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. Now, the psalmist knew these principles to be true. They are even more pertinent in our culture today. You see, the psalmist was focusing on relationships with the wrong kinds of people, that you don't listen to the counsel of the ungodly. You don't stand in the way of sinners. You don't hang out with them. And you don't sit in the seat of the scornful. But you see, for many of us today, we bring the counsel of the ungodly. We're hanging out with people, if you will, and we're sitting in the seat of the scornful through the media, through the TV and the internet. We listen to all this garbage all day long, every day. And there's no way you can be grateful when your mind is so filled up with all that garbage. He says, blessed is the man who doesn't listen to this, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. Day and night. Well, I ain't got time for that. You got time for the paper or the news on the internet. You got time for Facebook. You got time for your TV show. I'm telling you, if you want to be a grateful person, then you need to get your thinking right. And to do that, you've got to stop that daily intake of all that is negative and ugly, and instead fill your mind with good things from the Word of God. Blessed is the man. Verse 3 says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Wow. You want to be somebody who's happy, somebody who has hope, somebody that's humble, somebody that's pleasing to the Lord, somebody that's pleasant to be around. That's a grateful person. And how does that happen? When you get your thinking right, you change the way you think. We read this one last week, Romans 1:21. Although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile. You see, if we're going to be thankful, we got to get our thinking right. Proverbs 23:7 says, in the King James, it says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You see, if you're always thinking negative things and focused on that, then it's going to be impossible for you to truly be grateful from the heart. But when you get your thinking on the good things and the blessings and how good God is and the promises of God, I'm telling you, then you can truly be thankful. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. All of us in our life have areas where we feel blessed and areas where maybe we're struggling. And it's easy sometimes to focus on that one area that's a negative. But instead, we need to focus on all the blessings and trust God with that one area. Philippians 4:8 says, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. You see, we've got to think on the good things. Yes, there's a lot of terrible things in our world. There's plenty of things that are ugly and unholy and unrighteous and impure and hateful and all kinds of things in this world. He says, don't think on those things. Think on these things. You start thinking on these things, you'll become grateful. And when you can't think of anything good, anything pure, anything holy, anything lovely, just go to the Word of God. It is always true. It is always pure. It is holy. It is altogether lovely. And I'm telling you, it will change your thinking. But if you're going to be a grateful person, you got to change the way that you think. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 10:5 to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. You see, you can't just have the attitude that, well, you know, my mind just goes where it goes. No, you need to take control of your thought life. Take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. Now, one of the ways you can help your mind do that is by controlling some of the input. Quit listening to this and start listening to this. But you have to daily, almost moment by moment, make the choice to think on the right kinds of things, the things that help you to be grateful instead of focusing on the negatives and all of the problems and all of the ugliness in our world. I really am a very blessed man. Just by the grace of God, God has been so good to me. And one of the ways that he's been so good to me is my wife. She is 99% perfect. Sometimes I call her perfect. Really close. But there's actually that 1%. And man, can I focus on that 1% and get it bigger and bigger and bigger? That's crazy. Now, I know some of you, you're thinking, 1%, Pastor, I'm dealing with like a 20-80 kind of situation here. But I'm just telling you, we have to learn to focus on the good things. Get your thinking right. As long as you're thinking negative, fault-finding thoughts, listen, about your spouse, your children, your job, your church, any other important area of your life, you are never really going to be grateful. No, you got to get your thinking right. How can you be grateful? How can you really live out the Word of God and be a doer of the Word? You got to have faith. There's no other way. You got to be content with the things that God has blessed you with. Get rid of that old attitude of always having to have something different or more. Be thankful for what you have and get your thinking right. I want you to stand with me. We're going to pray. I'd like for our prayer partners to come. Father, we just thank you for the Word of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, that it brings freedom. Lord, that it brings victory. And I thank you, Father, that it brings real change in our life today. I pray, Father, that you would just draw us closer to yourself as we draw near to you. Father, I pray that we would just see that you are all that and so much more, that you're so good to us. Forgive us, Father, for times when we've taken things for granted. And Father, may we be a shining example to a lost world that's so discontent and disgruntled. Father, I pray that you just do a great work in us today, that we would go out from here with joy and victory and a testimony to tell this world that the Lord is good, and to tell them about the wonderful works of the Lord to the children of men. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. If you've come to this service with any kind of a prayer need today, I want you to know that God loves you and He cares for you. And these prayer partners are here to pray and to believe God with you. Jesus said, if any two agree together as touching anything, it shall be done for them of my Father in heaven. So there's something very powerful about this prayer of agreement when you come and you let a fellow believer, a faith-filled fellow believer, pray with you in agreement and just begin to thank God for it, all right? I want to encourage you to do that today. But I know there's some of you here this morning that you realize that you got to get this turned around in your life. You've gotten caught up in that negative cycle, and it's a bondage, and you know it. You need to get free from that today. I just encourage you to come for prayer. God will help you break through that in Jesus' name. So as we dismiss, whatever your prayer need might be, I encourage you to come. And congregation, as you go, go with the victory. Go with a smile on your face. When things get rough, well, just pray and sing praises to God. Amen. Let other people know that it's not too much for your God. Let other people know that whatever's going on in this world, God is still bigger and you trust Him and you're believing Him. Amen. Giving God thanks in everything. Amen. Lord bless you.